Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Our first guest, Kenny Irish, also known as KW, is an author, musician, sales marketing professional. Originally from the northern parts of Vermont, he relocated to the beautiful area of upstate New York with a lifelong passion of folklore monsters, UFO stories, writing and public speaking at writers' groups and various other platforms around the country. Now, he continues this journey, focusing on both fiction and nonfiction works. KW is also a researcher for the New York Bigfoot Society, called the NYBS, whose parent company is the Tri-City Paranormal Society. They have appeared on the National Geographic Channel, the Travel Channel, Destination America. KW is also the co-host of the NYBS radio show. Kenny, welcome to the show.
Hey, George. How you doing, my friend?
And welcome back. How have you been?
I've been fantastic. Been surviving the pandemic and staying healthy. How about you?
Same thing. Same thing. Lots of travel, but a lot of supplements and things like that. So I'm staying out of harm's way, I guess.
Doing excellent. And, awesome.
So what's new in the Bigfoot world?
Well, new in the Bigfoot world, I really wouldn't say there's a whole lot of new going on, but it definitely still exists. You know, nothing's been proven 100% one way or the next, if you will.
How did your interest get into this?
Like you'd mentioned, I grew up in northern Vermont, and I started out a big Godzilla fan, and I live near Lake Champlain, and in Lake Champlain there's a little creature known as Champ, the Lake Champlain monster.
Champion, right?
Yes, yes, and that really kind of got me going in the direction that I'm in today. The thought of like a Godzilla type serpentine creature living in the lake where I lived growing up, you know, as a young boy, was just really intriguing to me and exciting, and that's what kind of set me on the path to looking up monsters and really kind of getting into creatures, and so I went from like Godzilla to King Kong, the Incredible Hulk, all kinds of anything that was of imagination, if you will, at that point in time for me, and that brought me to where I am today, and looking into different different encounters that folks have had, and just looking into the history and kind of seeing where it all came from.
I got interested in Bigfoot, Sasquatch with the Abominable Snowman, the Yeti out of the Himalayas.
Yeah.
That just really got me into it. And I didn't even know about Bigfoot at the time. This is years ago. I was a kid. I thought that that's all there was, this Abominable Snowman, this furry creature up in the Himalaya Mountains. And then later on, I realized there's Sasquatch stories going all over the place and that they could be one of the same, very close biologically.
Yeah, it's funny because I like you mentioned, I grew up in northern Vermont, and I really never heard of Bigfoot. I heard, it kind of get mentioned now and then, and so growing up, I felt like there was one running around, and it was seen all over the country, all over the world, and it was when I got a little bit older, and I kind of looked into it a little bit further, was when I kind of found out, the truth that, encounters are happening all over the place, but no one's saying it was the same exact bipedal creature running rampant across the earth.
What do you think Sasquatch might be?
I'm very much on the flesh and blood side. I'm a 90% flesh and blood. I leave the 10% there just because I want to continue to have conversations with other individuals on their thoughts. Definitely for me, I'm more on the flesh and blood. And, a lot of the research that I do regarding Sasquatch, I go back and I read up on Native American tribes and what they believed and what they saw. I'm living in New York. One of the tribes that I've researched is the Iroquois, and they spoke of Sasquatch as being like another tribe of people. So for me, I really take that in consideration when I'm coming up kind of what I believe or what direction I'm going in at that point in time in research, because there's so many different directions that you can go into. But I primarily stay flesh and blood until I kind of, you know, something else, you know, kind of pops up and then kind of takes me in another direction. So I'm not solid 100%, like I said, flesh and blood, but that's kind of where I stand right now at this point in time.
Kenny, what do you think of the ET connection or the other dimension possibilities with ETs and Sasquatch?
Well, as far as the extraterrestrial side of the subject, I'm really intrigued by that because I, for me personally, I would believe that they would be extraterrestrial before they would be any type of paranormal. Because you know, a lot of folks, you know, that I've talked to who are you know, into ufology, you know, they talk about, you know, aliens and extraterrestrial beings being of flesh and blood. So I kind of put them kind of in the same category. So, you know, I mean, I'm definitely not sold by any means that they're extraterrestrial, but, you know, with all the sightings and encounters that folks have claimed that they've had, you know, after seeing, you know, an object up in the sky that they couldn't describe, and then, you know, coming across a Sasquatch face-to-face, it really, you know, there's enough evidence to suggest that they very well could be extraterrestrial. You know, there's folks that have also said that they've actually seen them actually walking out of a spaceship. Those are very far and few in between. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, when you look at kind of animal science, animals are kind of drawn to energy. And if I'm going to stay on my theory of Sasquatch being flesh and blood, I would believe that they would be going to, you know, they'd be drawn to that energy like any other animal would. And that may be potentially why there are actually the encounters. If they're not extraterrestrial, that could very well be one of the reasons why they are present at that point in time when, you know, folks are claiming to see UFOs in the sky.
I keep thinking of Chewbacca in Star Wars, who looked exactly like a Sasquatch.
You know, somebody actually mentioned that to me. They said, as far as a Sasquatch and extraterrestrial, they're like, how do you think Chewbacca came to be? Like, where do you think he came from? They're like, that's a sign. They're trying to kind of get me on the boat that was a sign, and trying to let me know that it's extraterrestrial. And I had never thought of that until that individual brought that up. But Chewbacca. Yeah, I mean, you're talking what he was like 7 feet tall.
Yeah,
beetle
had that pointy type looking head. Sure.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, who's to say that that's not what it is? We got to start calling him Chewbacca instead of Sasquatch.
What about video evidence or film evidence? What do you think of the Patterson-Gimlin film?
You know, every time I watch it, I see something different. You know, I guess it really comes down to which version I'm watching of it. And what I mean by that is there's so many different varieties of that film out there that have been enhanced in many different ways. It's almost too good to be true, but at the same time, the more I watch it, the more I'm intrigued by it, and the more I try to look at both sides of it. Like I've looked at the individuals who believe that it's a hoax and why, and I also look into why folks actually believe it's real. And I will say this: both sides definitely, without a doubt, have some very intriguing reasons and evidence behind what they're saying. But for me personally, when I push both those sides, you know, this one to the left, this one to the right, and I just stand there myself and just look at it, when I first saw it, I was 100% a believer.
Yeah.
100% a believer.
No doubts. No doubts.
And then, you know, but I mean, you know, it's like with any video. I mean, you can take any type of video and start manipulating it one way or another and make your point of it being fake or make your point of it being real. There's a few people that I've spoken to, you know, that work in the film industry, and, you know, they both had, you know, opinions that didn't line up with each other. You know, one was definitely saying, yes, this would definitely be real, while the other was like, no, it's not because of this. But again, you know, for myself, when I push the world aside and look at it, that's 100% real to me.
When you wrote American Cryptids, which came out, several months ago?
Yes, in March.
How many different cryptids are there in this country? Not total numbers, but different kinds.
Oh, how many different kinds?
There's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is like when I was doing a lot of research for the book, I was coming across cryptids I'd never even heard of. And, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. And, you know, and to be honest with you, I was talking with a gentleman probably maybe 2 months ago, and he brought up, he goes, have you ever heard of Raccoon Man? I'm like, Raccoon Man? I'm like, no, that's a first for me. You can't even put a number on it, because every time I turn around, there's a new cryptid being brought into the light. I mean, you know, Dogman's been around for a long time, but most recently, from what I've noticed, you know, Dogman's starting to become actually pretty popular, and there's a lot of people coming forward in regards to claiming that they've had a Dogman encounter or a sighting. Again, there's just so many out there that it's just, the more I look into it, like, you know, anytime I actually think I'm actually like making some ground and actually getting to some answers, the more I look into it, the more questions I end up walking away with.
Yeah, probably so. But you haven't personally seen a Bigfoot, or have you?
No, I haven't. I always call myself that guy who's always late to the party. I've missed every champ sighting. I've missed every Bigfoot sighting. I've been in areas where individuals had seen one prior to me getting there. The gentleman that leads the New York Bigfoot Society, who's the group that I'm with out of New York, he actually, back in January, actually had his first official real, this was a Bigfoot. He had no other way of explaining it. And his background is in animal behavior and science, and he's an outdoorsman, so he knows what's what, and he said that this was definitely a Bigfoot. So I, unfortunately, was at work in my office while he was out having an experience of his life. So, yeah, I'm late to the party. I'm that guy that's always late, George.
How do you think people would react if we actually found a physical Bigfoot?
I think there's a lot of people that still wouldn't believe it. I really think that there's a lot of people, no matter what you show them, they wouldn't believe it. But I think for the individuals who you know, pursue the creature and look for them, I think, to be honest with you, some of the reactions are going to be across the board. I know for me, one of the things for me is the mystery's going to kind of be gone.
Mm-hmm.
But for others, it's going to be just the beginning. You know, it's just like, okay, well, I'm going to look into this a little bit further and, you know, find out more about it. So, I really think it's like anything else. There's going to be a huge mixed reaction to it. Again, for me, you know, that one of the things that keeps me going, day in and day out on this is again, just the mystery behind it. And, you know, there's just too many people who are credible that have come forth and claimed an encounter with this elusive creature. So, boy, the mystery behind it and the lore behind it is what keeps me going. So, for me, it would be a little bit of a bummer, I guess.
Yeah.
But to take it to the next level, if that was discovered, I guess what would really concern me about it is what you know, science might do to it as well, and might actually do to you know, the species. Because a lot of the time, you know,
it probably could get shot.
Exactly. You know, it turns into something that now, you know, we've got to research it, we've got to dissect it, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. But honestly, in my opinion, you know, as far as science and in the government goes, I believe that the government knows that they're out there. And
why keep it a secret?
Well, you know, it's kind of like with aliens, you know, an extraterrestrial. You know, they kept it a secret for the longest time. And what was it, like last year they started, you know, releasing information saying, hey, by the way, UFOs do exist.
We don't know what they are, but we're going to call them UFOs.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, I think, I always say this, I think what's going to have to happen before they say the Sasquatch exists, there's going to have to be another pandemic, because, you know, it was kind of ironic that right at that point in time when, like, coronavirus starts rolling out and getting really bad, they kind of slip in there. Oh, by the way, UFOs, you know, we are looking into this. There is something to this. And you're going to die of coronavirus. And then all of a sudden, you know, there's, like, really no more talk after that. So I think we're going to have to wait until the next pandemic hits before the government's going to actually come out and say that they do exist.
Did you have fun writing American cryptids?
I did. I did. I had a lot of fun. It was definitely challenging, you know, covering all 50 states, but it was very, it was one of my first nonfiction books. So the biggest challenge when it comes to the nonfiction is making sure that you're fact checking and making sure that, you know, what you're putting in there is to the best of your ability and what you've researched. And I always try to, anything I'm researching, I try to go as far back as possible on it to, you know, find out, you know, the earliest information on it. Because, you know, as it kind of progresses over the years, it can sometimes kind of get a little diluted with, you know, thinking of nowadays and how we see things nowadays. So a lot of what I put in that book, I went as far back as I possibly could to get the earliest information to try to have everything as accurate as possible.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.